All right, so we're gonna move to Sachem on Memvav Amud Aleph. Just in terms of yesterday, quickly, when the Rishonim, I saw the Rush talks a little bit more also about the Hachana of the Leida. So he wants to say that there's a the Ramban in the Milchamos openly says also like the Ran, that it's the Rabbanan because of the Isser. The Isser is what makes it Hachana. But there's a big carbon asylum on the Rush over there. He wants to say that the Rush holds the Raisa. But based on the Isser Rabbanan still. But the Rush says the Leida is a Hachana because it does have an effect, practical effect. Two practical effects based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that before the Leida, the egg you can't use the egg legadol beta. Right? As the Gemara later on in beta. Can't use an egg that was extracted from a dead chicken, legadol beitzim. Only an egg that was laid will be legadol beitzim. So the Rush says that shows you, in terms of Ephrochim, the Leida really is a Hachana. It does make a new thing. Now they're looking for a real, when they say the Leida is like a Hachana, they're looking for a real effect in the Leida. So one effect is, it's not megadol. It can't be megadol frochim with a beitza that was from a shchuta. And the other thing is, the Yerushalmi says that an egg that was laid doesn't taste the same as an egg that wasn't. So in terms of achila, it's not the same. But they're looking for some real effect. That's why the Rush says by an animal you don't say that. In other words, if an animal were born on Shabbos, he holds you can eat it on Yom Tov. Of course, there's no hachana of it. There's no hachana of the Leida. The animal inside the mother is just as tasty as outside, and it'll live. You can tear it out and it'll live. So there's nothing that's done by the Leida is not really accomplishing anything. Right? When they say that the Leida is hachana, they're looking for a real effect of the Leida. Like the Leida is like another process. Either in terms of Ephrochim, or in terms of completing its, changing its culinary qualities. But the Rush holds, if you have a cow that was born on Shabbos, you can shecht it on the next day, Yantif. You don't say that Leida is Achana. And you get into other problems over there. You get into other problems of... There's a Yerushalmi that says, it brings down the question of if you have a wick that's burning, let's say you have a candle burning on Shabbos, right? Again, Sammy? I'm not going to try this now. You have a candle burning on Shabbos, right? And it goes out early. There's a kibbuy on Shabbos. So can you use it on Yontif? Do you say that it's going out, the kibbuy on Shabbos was like a hachana for it on Yom Tov? You get into all these questions. So it wouldn't have gone out on Shabbos, you wouldn't have had it on Yom Tov. So do you call that like a hachana too? But that's like the second kind of hachana. That's like the Tosfos kind of hachana. That you're relating in effect, there's an effect of what happened yesterday that benefits today. But the Rush Rush rejects that kind of hachana. All right, we'll see. By the it comes up again when we come back to Beitza, Lina. There it comes up again by the trees, by branches falling on. If you have a branch that falls on Shabbos, can you use it on Yontif for the fire? Same problem comes up. Similar. Okay. Anyway, we decided to go to Pesachim now because once we conclude that we hold like Rabbah, that Hachana is Aser, and most Rishonim seem to hold it's a real Issur D'oraisa. The Rabbah's Hachana is a real Issur D'oraisa. So then the question becomes, that the Rishonim discuss in Beitza, the Rashba discusses in Beitza, is how do we cook How are we meichin from Yom Tov to Shabbos? I mean, we're doing Hachana B'Yadayim. We're doing Hachana. Why isn't that a major problem of Hachana D'Rabba? Right? That's exactly Hachana D'Rabba. To cook something today for tomorrow. So how do we do it? So it comes, so you have to go through the Gemara in the Pesachim to resolve that question. Okay, so the Gemara is interesting. The Mishnah has an interesting question on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Right. So how do you? So the question is, how are you mafresh challah betumah on Yom Tov? Yeah. So what's the problem? What's the problem? Problem is it's Pesach, right? So you made a dough, and what happened? And the dough became tameh. So you chayev in challah, but presents a problem. What's the problem? Rashi, shenit me sa'isa. Right, so the problem now is, ordinarily, you take the isa, you take challah, you bake it, and you give it to a kohen on yantif. So it'd be roi for today. Right, it'd be baking for today. But the problem is, a kohen can't eat this this challah, right? A kohen can't eat this challah, so there's no use in baking it today, right? So it's not roi lachila, so you can't bake it. And what about just leaving it? And you can't leave it and burn it after yontif because it'll become chametz. That's the problem. So what about just burning it now? Can't be served kachim b'yom tov. Can't destroy kachim. Okay. All right, so you're in a quandary. So what do you do? So Rabbi Eliezer says, what? So he says, don't call it challah yet until you bake it. Don't call it challah yet until you bake it. Go ahead, Rashi. Okay, so since you didn't call it challah yet, so each roll, well, you have one big isa, you break it up into a lot of rolls. Each roll you could eat. Each roll could be one that you could eat. Right? Go ahead. Now he's now Rashi saying a little bit complicated here, but he says like this. He's saying like this, that each one really is roi for you. Why? Because you could take a little bit of challah off of each loaf. Right? Or the two ways to take the challah. You can either take a little bit of challah off of each loaf. Right? Or what? And after the afiyah, you could be mafresh one full challah. Right? It was the problem is the baking itself. When you're baking each one, apparently, you could say each one I'm going to take a little bit of challah off of. Right? Then apparently that's not considered in a fear that's not tzricha because it's one cheft of the challah. It's one loaf. It's one roll. So you don't say, this fraction of it is ain't it tzricha. It's one ma'isa bishul. It's one ma'isa afiyah. But in the end, you don't actually have to do that. That's what allows you to bake them, to bake each one. But in the end, you can really just take one for all of them. Right? Okay, go ahead. Yes, so you can have a tzir for the challah from the baking basket. You don't have to do it from the isa.
Aren't you still giving the kohen from the challah?
Is right now is the problem is you need to bake it. He holds. You can't let it sit and become chametz. But you can't bake it as challah. Because once you call it challah, then it's not roi l'achila. So you have to bake it first, and then call it challah. The only thing is, still, how do you bake it first? You know one of them is not going to really be edible for you. So he's saying, no, since you could say each challah itself, I'm going to take a little piece off of, that makes them all roy for afia. And then in the end, you don't have to actually do that. Yeah.
If you couldn't take...
So it seems that's what he's saying over here. Right. It does seem, they're saying, if you had one, if you didn't have this ability to take one piece off of each, and you're baking all the loaves at once, then you know vade, there's one full loaf that's not ruya. Right?
So
why
can't...
Okay, so Rabbi Yoshua says, simple. Says, this is not chametz that you chayev on. For Bayi Rabbi Yimotzei. This is not the chametz that there's an iser Bayi Rabbi Yimotzei on. Why? Rashi. Right.
So he
says, so Rabbi Yeshua says, look, it's only lo yira lecha. The only issue is to see something that is your own chametz, bailus. But this is shalkajim, right? This does not belong to you. Once you're mafresh it and you call it and you give it the shame challah, it's not yours anymore. You don't have a right to use it once it has kriyas shame challah. And it doesn't belong to anyone else either because you didn't give it to anyone. So it's just, it's mufka from your shus, and there's no isser at all.
Is that an isser too, to have your friends on it?
I mean, why do you say it's not your friends?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be your isser if it was your friends. He's saying you're not causing it, and there's no isser to you, and you're not causing any isser. You'd give it to a coin, it'd be a problem. Okay, so what's the machlokas? Go ahead. So this is what I was trying to figure out. What's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua?
It's not
Lema. Right, is that what to?
Yeah.
Oh. I just think more so like this. Lema betovas hanoh kamifugi. Let's say they're arguing about tovas hanoh. Rabbi Eliezer sova tovas hanah mamon, Rabbi Yeshua tovas hanah ena mamon. So what does that mean, tovas hanah? Rashi says like this, dovra muat. Tovas hanah means what? Dovra muat. Funny definition. Tovas hanah means something very small, small thing. Ditanya, that's how he's defining tovas hanah. Tovas hanah, dovra muat. Ditanya, Rasha Yisrael Loma Lachavero Helach Sela Vatain Kol Trumasecha Leven Biti Kohen. So a guy can go to his friend, a Yisrael can go to his friend, a Yisrael, and say, here's a little money. Right? You have to give Truma anyway. Here's a little money, right? Give it to my grandchildren. Right? Give it to my grandchildren who are Kohanim. Correct? So he says, that's Tovas Hanah. Sheyesh lo Yisrael b'chalazu. That's the Tovas Hanah that this Jew has in this challah. Sherashoy l'sita l'kol kohen sheyirtza. He has the discretion to give it to any kohen he wishes. V'litol davar muat me'ovo shel kohen b'shvil sheyitnelo. And he can take some money from someone who likes that coin in order to direct it to him. Right? Rabbi Eliezer sova tovas hanah mamon v'havihach chala kididei v'ovaralo. So Rabbi Eliezer holds, now does everybody agree? You know, the problem is that everybody agrees shel cho'ya taroa v'taroa shel acherim. Everybody agrees with that. Right? Everyone agrees there's no iser b'ayir av motzei unless you have a bailus on the thing. So what's the machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua seems to have a clear argument. It's not yours, right? So how does Rabbi Eliezer pull it back into his rishus? That's the question. Questions on Rabbi Eliezer. How does he get it into being into his rishus? So he says the fact that he has discretion about how to direct it, right? How to direct it, that's considered like a bailus on it. That's called tovas hanah, and he holds tovas hanah is like mammon. So therefore, it turns out that the challah, it's like he has bailus on it. It's like his mom.
The fact that he can get something for it.
Well, that's why he can get something for it. But why can he receive a little bit of mammon for it?
I understand, but there are things that you have the discretion to do, but it's not yours. The Gav Yitzchak has the right to give out the money however he sees fit, so you would call it mammon.
Right. I mean, he has discretion and he's allowed to take mammon for it. Right.
Yeah, isn't that the implication? Because otherwise, they wouldn't have to bring in the fact that he could get money for it. They could
right.
just say that he could give it to
him. Rashoy lesita l'kol koin shiirtza. Vilitol dover muot me'ovo. Right. He's allowed to take money to direct it to whoever he wants. Hilkach. So that's why he calls that mammon. So therefore, he holds, you'll be over by Rabbi Yimatza. And Rabbi Yeshua Sovar, Tovas Hano, Einenu Mamon, Eina Mamon, Velavdi Dehu, Veina Muzar Ala, Umishim Pikodon Nami Leka, Dakatilo Mataliyad Koin. It's not like he's holding someone's Pikodon either. Alright, so what's the Machlokas? Tovas Hano. Tovas Hano. See, Tovas, I think the reason why Rashi says it's Tovas Hano is Dover Muad, that's in general is the term Tovas Hano. Why doesn't the Gemara use a term by like a get, by a ksuba? Who's doing, isn't that the beginning of Makos? Remember the Makos recently? Yeah, the case with the Tovas Hanah.
Oh, yeah.
Right, if a woman sells her ksuba, so what do you, so is that called, isn't that called Tovas Hanah? Am I wrong? So let's understand. So what does it mean? What's that, the facts again? Okay, so in other words, I'm chayev to give truma, right? I'm chayev to give truma, but I could give it to any coin. I can give it to any coin I wish, right? I can give it to Morris, I can give it to Adam, right? So I have to give it, but I can give it to any coin I want to. So not only that, I'm allowed to take some form of inducement to help me make up my mind.
The coin,
that's a separate thing. The coin can give it. But I can take money from from BMAC to give the my truma to Mars. I'm allowed to do that. Is it binding? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's binding, right? But I'm allowed to take that money. So therefore, he's saying, even though I'm mafresh t'challah, and it's not mine, I don't have a right to use it, I can't be neneh from it in any way, but I do have the right to take money, I'm allowed to take money to convince me to give it to a certain coin. So I have a right to decide which coin it goes to. That's in my power. And I'm allowed to take a benefit. I'm allowed to take money to help me decide. So I can get some mumminous benefit out of this thing. And that's the one who says machlokes. Does the Rabbi Eliezer holds Tovas Hanah is mammon. So therefore I have to bake it. Can't just be mafresh it. If I'm mafresh it, I'm going to be chay by your rabbi. I'm going to be over by your rabbi matzli, because I have chametz that I have a mamonous ownership of. But Rabbi Yeshua says no. Tovas Hanah is nothing. So therefore, I'm not going to be over.
He agrees that you could do that.
Yes. But the question is Tovas Hanah mamon or is it not mamon? Rabbi Yeshua saw Tovas Hanah ain't a mamon. V'lavdi dehu. And who? Rabbi Eliezer says, Tovas no mamon v'havi hach chala kiddi day.
Who's it going to be?
It's going to be the one who's mafresh t'chala. If I'm mafresh t'chala and I have a right to decide which coin it goes to, and I have a right to take a small amount of money to make me, you know, to induce me one way or the other. So now, this challah is a din of mamon to me. It's like you know who made this mistake, right? Okay. All right. So first of all, something like that. What the isa knows, the guy doesn't. It's not conventional bialis. It's not conventional bialis because he doesn't have any rights to its intrinsic uses. And normally, bialis means I have a right to its tashmish, right? I have a right to the usage of the thing. And I can use it as I wish. And then I can sell it because I can transfer all of those usages, right? Here, the guy himself does not have any usage of the object, correct? Okay, that's why it's not a normal bialis. Go ahead. In other words, let's analyze Rashi textually. Okay. What is the significance? What's davar muat? What's davar muat? Rashi says tova sana is davar muat. What does he mean? So it's interesting. He uses the same phrase a little later in Rashi, right? He says, "V'hainu tovas hanoah sheyesh lo liyisrael b'chalazu sherashoy l'sita l'kol koin sheyirta v'lito davar muat me'ovo shekoin b'shvil sheyitne lo." So, what's the davar muat that he has in this? When we say that the Yisrael has a tovas hanoah in the challah. And Rashi says he has a davar muat in the challah. So what does it mean? It seems Rashi saying he has money in the challah. What's the davar muat? The davar muat is he can realize a monetary gain from this challah. He can realize a davar muat out of this challah. It's not something he just has as a mitzvah to give away, but he can actually. He can actually get a small amount of money from it. That seems to be the emphasis, right? Not the control. The fact that he can realize something out of it, yeah. No, let's try to analyze. It's a difficult question, but let's try to analyze it. So like we said before, in terms of ownership, so I have all the rights. If I have something I own in the conventional sense, so it means I have the right, I have all the rights over it. I control all of its tashmish. I can use it for myself, or I can give it away to other people, right? And all of its abilities are biyado. That's what we mean, that it's yours, right? In other words, I control all of its functions and qualities and usages. Okay. That's what bialis is, right? That's what bialis is. Now over here by the challah, you can't say that you're the baal on the thing, because you have no right to its use, right? You have no right to its use. So Mustafa, you'd say you're not the owner. In what sense am I the owner? I can't even sell it. I can't do anything with it. I can't use it. I can't be nene from it. I can't sell it. So I don't have any of the what they call the incidents of ownership. I don't have any of the normal, I don't relate to it in terms of the thing as itself. I don't relate to it as a baal. I can't be nana. I can't engage in it. I can't benefit from it. So that's pashut. That's the pashut side. Now, what's Rabbi Eliezer saying though? Saying it's true you can't. It's true in terms of the cheftza itself, as an object of utility. You can't relate to it at all, as a baal, because you have none of its utility. Right, but because of the way the halacha works out, it's possible for you to realize a monetary gain from it, right? Okay, so now there are two ways that to approach this. There are two ways to understand what that monetary gain does for you in terms of making it yours, right? So one way is to say, and this is the prevalent trend in the Shia today. One way is to say that makes it like you're the owner because it's sort of like you're treating it. You get to treat it somewhat like an owner. A regular owner can sell his object and get money. You can sort of do something like that. You can give it away and get money as a present. So you have like a visage of Bilus. You have a reflection of a Bilus, some sort of reflection of Bilus. In a certain way, someone could look at it and say, hey, it looks like he just sold something. It must be his, right? Now, it's sort of like giving you an accidental feature of a Bilus that in the end of the day, it comes out, you took money and you gave it away. The other way to go is like this, is to say, and that sort of gives you, and that becomes like one of its uses, that becomes one, but the point is like this, they're trying to bridge the gap, you're trying to use this to put a usage into the Chefza. So now it comes out, it's like the Rabbi Yoshua is saying you're not a Baal because you have none of its Tashmish, right? Oh, but now the fact that I can get some money from it is like a Tashmish in it, right? Right? Sort of, right? But there's a different way, there's another way to look at it, I think there's another way to look at it. What do you say? That it's not that he's a Baal in the challah at all. It's not that he's a Baal in the challah at all. That's not the usage we're looking for. The usage we're looking for is not the fact that he can get money for it. The usage we're looking at is the money itself that he will get. In other words, this challah is a strange phenomenon. In terms of itself, he has no usage in it. But it is the cause for something that he can really own fully. It itself will bring in something that he can fully own. You understand? It's that it relates, it's that it stands to him in position of the ability to get a usage. But the usage that we're, but ultimately ownership is not being, we're not changing our definition of what a bilus is. You understand? This is a subtle difference. Let's think this through. It's important to think this through. Now, are we saying that the tovas hanah is creating a new kind of a bilus, right? Like a new type of a bilus. First, the ordinary bilus means control and usage. Now, tovas hanah is a different kind of a bilus. You don't have any control or usage over the challah, but you can do this thing that we'll consider to be like a control and usage, right? That's one way to go. Meaning to say, if you hold tovas hanah as mamon, it means we're going to sort of we're going to loosen the standard of when we call something to be your mamon, based on its usages, right? But the second way is saying no. What defines something as mamon is always usage. Okay, what defines bilus is always usage. The only thing is, can I have somewhat of a transferred usage? Can I consider something mine because of a transferred usage that it can bring in? Can I consider something to exist in the category of ownership because it will give me a full usage of something else? Not because that's a usage of the challah. You understand? It has a vicarious usage. You know the chiluk?
Full usage of the money.
That's right. It has the full usage of the money. It's almost like the challah, right? It's like this piece of paper I have in my pocket. Not much usage in this piece of paper, right? But it can get me things that I can fully use. It's not the same because I could use the paper to do anything I want, but we don't only look at something as the whole idea of mammon is not because of what you use it for. It's because of what it gets for you, which ultimately you use, right? But that's the question. If something itself only has the ability to get you something, do we say it exists to you in the realm of as like a mummonus? What if it has nothing of its own, but only the transfer value of something else? Can I say that that is, no, is mummon, put it like this, when we say that something is mummon, is that a type of, is that a certain kind of an object of yours? Right? But it has to first be of yours, and then we can say mummonus. Can you have something that is not of yours but still has the shame mummonus because it has the utility of the mummonus? Because it will realize a benefit to you. It's like a coupon. You ever see a coupon that says this has no face value? Something that I'm thinking about. Yeah, but here the chiluk, I think it's a good chiluk.
But doesn't it have to come back to ownership in a certain sense? Are you saying that with your explanation?
Like, is not owners, ownership is not the issue. It's the question of does it have a din of mammon?
Where is the body row, body masa come
from? It's your mammon. It's yours in terms of mammonus. Means any shame of it being considered yours will be you'll be chayav on. Now here we can't say in terms of its intrinsic cheftza of chala of isa, it has no shame of yours. In terms of isa, it has no shame of being yours. But it's an isa that can realize you a true ownership. So do we say now it's like, now that itself makes this Isa like it's yours?
So you're making a chiluk between ownership and having the monetary rights to something? Is that
right,
sort of,
something like that. I'll think about
that. You're saying even though you can go through this sort of transaction or whatever it is, it doesn't make you the owner in any way, because that would be modifying or...
Right. Then it wouldn't be necessary that you get money out of it in the end. Just the fact I can give it away could be something like ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The tovas hanoah is the davar muat. The davar muat is not my ability to control it. The davar muat is the money I get out of it. That's the tovas hanoah. So then it comes out, to me, this Isa has a shame of mominous. I have to think about it. It's an abstract question. Right, in other words, it's kiddi day means it would exist to you under the category of mummonus. It would exist to you in your debit, in your credit side. What side does it go on? The debit or the credit? In other words, does it exist to you kiddi day? Kiddi day, meaning to say it exists to you under the category of mummonus. Because it's a proxy for mammon. What do you say? Do you have to have only dafka? Or do you say no? Mammonus is a state. Mammonus is nothing more than usage. So this chefzi you have absolutely no usage on. Right? So you have a more abstract idea of mammonus over here.
You are different than a regular person in a relationship.
No, Rabbi Yeshua would say the bottom line is you cannot gain any of its usage. So you can't say it relates to you, b'toras mammon. It might have a benefit to you, but that doesn't make it exist, b'toras mammon. B'toras mammon means that all of it, as its properties and cheftzos, its substance and its usages are yours, are at your disposal. It's not at my disposal if I can't enjoy it. it just has this quirk that it can, I can realize a gain out of it. But when we, when we're judging if something exists to you bimamon, that's a, that's a description of a relationship. Can't say it has the relationship of usage to you. You could say it falls under a category of mamonus, possibly, because it incurs mamon. But that doesn't make it primarily a relationship of usage.
Right? What that's is it to him?
What is it to him?
Yeah, I mean, is there any category we could put that under? Because clearly he's not, his relationship...
It's tovas ano. But he doesn't, he holds tovas ano. It's not mamon.
Okay.
It's tovas ano. It's like, can you have the qualities of mamon without it being yours? Or does it have to be yours, and then the mamonus is a certain quality?
Yeah.